This morning we will be reading as our second scripture, a very familiar scripture from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This is sometimes called the parable of the Good Samaritan. But don't get ahead of yourself. Let's listen to it in a new way today and see if there's any words or phrases or ideas that come to your mind for yourself or for our church. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, the hated Samaritans, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God bless our hearing and understanding of this holy scripture. So, did you hear it new this time? Was there any words or phrases that stood out for you? Sharon. Oil and... The tools of healing in that day were slightly different than today. Thank goodness. Although those could be helpful things. Chuck, did you... You don't have to. When he showed him mercy, the one who showed him mercy, yes, was the neighbor. The true neighbor. Violet.
I hope I get it right. What must I do to inherit eternal life?
What must I do to inherit eternal life? That was the question of the lawyer, and the parable was all about the answer. Shannon. Go and do likewise. And that is the answer. Anything else? And who is my neighbor? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. He got an early start that morning. There was so much to do. In fact, he started the night before packing up all his wares. cleaning each item, buffing and shining when needed. He watered his donkey, checked his hooves for any sores or cracks, added some oats to the feed to ensure strength and endurance. Then he cleaned up, put the kids to bed, went over details for the week with his wife, and finally lay himself down for a short night's sleep. Up early, way before dawn, the man carefully laid out his presentation for that evening. Everything was in order. This had to go well. A new franchise in Jericho was just what his business needed. Times had been tough, with the Romans interfering with everything and taxing the honest businessman way beyond any fair standards. This new contact in Jericho promised to open new markets to the eastern borders and beyond. But this meeting had to go well. He had to be on top of his game, make his best presentation, instill confidence in himself and in his products. If he failed, it would be a hard winter again, scrimping and saving to just get by. This had to work. It just had to. It was still dark as he eased his fully loaded donkey out of the gate and into the lane. No one was out and about yet, just a few chimneys showing signs of light, life. A glimmer of pale light slowly rose in the east, giving the road a pale outline and identifying the occasional rock or a pothole. As he walked through the city gate of Jerusalem, the first living person appeared. Surprisingly, a priest hurried past him and down the gentle slope toward Jericho. He rarely saw a priest unaccompanied on the open road. The open road was a dangerous place to be nowadays. Maybe that's why he was hurrying so fast and getting such an early start. As the sun rose, the temperature rose as well, and by first watch he was already reaching for the water bag, both for the donkey and for himself. And as he paused for a drink, he was surprised again by a Levite hurrying down the road, again a Jewish holy man walking unaccompanied on the open road. As a businessman, he was always careful when he traveled alone. He tried to stay in groups when possible. Otherwise, he made sure to show no signs of any wealth or prestige on the open road, nothing to attract attention. Too many travelers were targeted by thieves and ruffians, and nowadays the political refugees, the zealots, forced out of the cities, added a whole new dimension to the uncertainty and the danger. He was making good time as he approached the bluffs that marked the beginning of the descent into the Jordan Valley. Jericho would only be a few more hours. He might even make it in time to get a much-needed bath before his meeting. He quickened his pace a little. The bluffs were probably the most dangerous part of the journey, providing hiding places for bandits, also for bodies to disappear. Walking quickly around the corner, he heard it before he saw anything, a low moaning sound. Could it be the wind whipping through the bluffs? A coyote, a ruffian, or a victim? Without the moan, he might have missed him completely. Only the toe of one sandal reached out of the brush, but it moved the brush, and the moaning got louder as he approached. Was it a trap? He quickly checked behind him, above, sniffed the air for any strange odors. As he carefully approached, He couldn't tell much about the man lying next to the road. His clothes were tattered. No valuables or possessions of any kind were apparent. A poor man? A holy man? A rebel? Or a businessman? No one could tell in this condition. He was in bad shape. From the pool of blood, he appeared to have been lying there for some time. He wondered about the two holy men, but he didn't look like either of them. Surely they would have seen him when they hurried by. But no one ever helped nowadays. People kept to themselves, took no risks, didn't get involved in the affairs of others. They kept to their safe boundaries. And this man's death might just be the consequence. How many would have felt safe stopping to help in this situation? How many would have stopped? The man was in bad shape. It didn't take long to see that this was probably his last journey. Too much blood. Barely a whisper of a moan. Barely a movement or sign of breathing. Not much chance he would survive to reach help. And it could be a trick. It was safer to just move on. Get to the other side. Get some distance toward town just as quickly as possible. He'd been lucky so far. On his many journeys, he had never had more than a suspicious glance from the bandits. He'd been forced to carry a bundle or two by a soldier, but that was just a couple miles. Why take a risk now? Why invite danger? Why get involved? Times were rough enough. One had to look out for oneself. Take the safe bet. Walk away. Just walk away. The man was probably dead anyway. Too much blood lost. Too far to a doctor. And no time. No time for heroes. He stooped and felt the man's forehead. It was cool and clammy. But that single touch brought a response. The man began to move and his eyes began to quiver. There was still life, but there was no time. The meeting wouldn't wait. His family was depending on him. It wasn't safe anyways. Just move along. Just move along. You all know what that Good Samaritan did, don't you? We all travel our own particular road in life. You know, when it comes to the end, when God calls you home, it's just you and God. Sure, we share the journey with a few. We let one or two get close, our spouse, children, a sibling or two. So many of us travel this road of life alone. Men especially. We have a mission. We're compelled to succeed, to be successful, to accumulate more stuff than others. For whom? For our families, our kids, our spouse. As the economic divide grows, success just seems further down that road, a longer journey, a riskier path. Uncertainty with every turn on the road. And who is my neighbor? Well, I might have to climb a fence to look over and see the neighbor, or walk around the neighborhood, maybe sit on the front porch, knock on a door. When I think of a good neighbor, I think of Jesus first. Someone who is kind, giving, bold, forgiving, and welcoming. Do you know anyone like that? Where do we find people who are kind, when we forget to signal or drive too slowly down the highway? Where do we find people who are giving, much less people who aren't trying to get something from you or trick you or abuse you in some way? The Good Samaritan, willing to risk one's own safety and comfort, willing to be inconvenienced, to use their own resources to help someone in need. We hear about that neighbor who is bold enough to walk right up and stick out their hand, inviting you into a new relationship. But we don't see it often. And in today's social and political climate, forget about forgiveness. People are looking for mistakes, weaknesses, a reason to attack, an excuse to let loose all that pent-up frustration to demonize their opponent. Someone needs to be fired, arrested, executed, punished somehow. Oh, and it's never my fault. Where do we find people who are welcoming? Hopefully in the church. If you look right, dress well, and act the right way, or are connected to the right people and vote the right way. Oh, yes, and in our world of border walls and immigration limits, even for homeless refugees and heightened security everywhere, could a neighbor come from Samaria or Russia or China, Syria or Palestine, a big city, country holler, Republican, Democrat, Muslim, Native American, ex-con, LGBTQ+? Where do we find a good neighbor in our neighborhood, in our church, anywhere in our world, when all the world, seemingly every man, woman, and child, is raised to walk this journey of life alone, the desperado, to be successful, respected, famous ideally, to accumulate more stuff than your neighbors, when the common good is a foreign concept in this developed world, where do we find a good neighbor? Be one. Be one. Be kind, giving, bold, forgiving, and welcoming. A good neighbor. Be one. Let me give just a short postscript. In this world of growing individualism and divisiveness, there's no doubt that a church of good neighbors is needed now more than ever. This church has been that neighbor for Shannon and myself. Thank you. And I've watched this congregation welcome anyone and almost everyone to come and be one of us. We've been a church of good neighbors who think about those outside our doors. And that has to be one of our next steps. This community will never know there are good neighbors here at First Christian Church if we don't take our welcome and hospitality outside the doors and down the road to Jericho. It will be one person, one need, one risk taken at a time that will be what identifies us as good neighbors, as followers of Jesus. May God lead us down that road. Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, that you have put us on this road to Jericho, to your people, to your community, to your world. We thank you for your love, your acceptance, your forgiveness that lets us walk with you each step of the way and guides us in our decisions and opens our eyes to see with the love that you have, to see clearly opportunities to love and to share your love with those that we meet. Oh God, we pray that you would guide us down that road that you have laid for us, First Christian Church, right here in Grand Junction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.